Right, welcome back to the Tip TV Finance Show here. You caught me off guard. I'm here with my co-host, who's Alessio Rustani from LeadingTrader.com, and with the ever-ebullient Richard Perry, market analyst from Handtech Markets. I'm not sure what ebullient means, but I'm hoping that it's something nice. Is it good?
Well, you never know. You never know.
Right, okay. We're in the run-up to the ECB latest offering from them. Mm-hmm. Are you expecting anything groundbreaking from them?
Nothing on rates. I think that there's no real appetite for any cut of the deposit rate. Although you look at the deposit, data out of the Eurozone in recent sort of weeks, it's not been that great, and it is putting pressure back on Draghi again. The inflation rate has sort of mildly disappointed last month. Also, the growth and the PMI numbers have come in, and it seems as though that the Eurozone is still only mildly growing, sort of 0.2% maybe for Q3. So it doesn't look as though that this QE program that they've got is really sort of gaining too much traction. And there is an appetite for some sort of further easing, but exactly what they can do. His hands are still fairly tied, I think, by obviously the committee. But it looks as though the expectation is for possibly an extension of the easing program. Obviously, it ends in March 2017 at the moment, so maybe add another 6 months onto that. But ultimately, if it's not working now, you've got to ask the question, when will it work?
So can't we chuckle inwardly at the way that the ECB and the BOJ both thought that the Fed would be doing the difficult and dirty
work? The heavy lifting, yeah. And they're not doing it. And obviously, the euro-dollar has sort of maintained its quite strong level. And it's not sort of helping the ECB in any way. And obviously, the BOJ is a whole different story there. But it's not great for Mario Draghi. I mean, he must be seeing sort of still the euro pulling up towards sort of 113 again. That's certainly not the sort of levels that they'd be wanting to see with this huge package of stimulus measures that they've still got to sort of play out. So it is still, I mean, they're still batting up against a lot of pressure with that the Fed, the fact that the Fed isn't tightening as fast as possible as they had previously thought. But again, what can they do? There is possible talk of changing these capital keys. The fact that they're sort of having their hands tied with the fact that they're only pretty much focusing on sort of the big countries' debt, such as Germany, Italy, France. But again, it's sort of trimming around the edges, really, I think, ultimately. And I really don't think that they can do a great deal at the moment. It doesn't seem as though they're getting too much traction off this easing that they're doing.
Okay, let's look at some of the charts that you've sent in.
Just generally speaking, euro, I think, is on a longer term basis positive above 111 figure. It's still in a big long term range, but positive above 111 figure towards the top of the range. And you can see there in 2016, every time you get towards sort of 13.75, 14 big figure, the ECB tends to sort of come in with some more jawboning to sort of pull it lower. And it does tend to work for a bit, but again, that sort of big pivot band in the middle, 110.50 to 111 figure, seems to be sort of the middle ground, I think, on euro dollar at the moment. And we're sort of pulling positive again on the momentum indicators as we've sort of pulled higher. Again, that's been driven by a weaker dollar rather than the euro or the ECB action. I think that the dollar weakness is still a big driver in this chart, and the fact that we're not going to get those sort of that tightening, possibly December, probably not still, but it doesn't look as though that the euro is going to be going down too far anytime soon, unless Draghi pulls a massive rabbit out of the hat today.
But at least they've got currency stability.
Yeah, it is a stable time for the euro currency. I suppose that is.
That is a dodo.
But it's not really necessarily helping. In the long term, necessarily, but I think obviously the dollar, the US data is still a big driver. I mean, we've seen the euro dollar pulling higher in the last few days as successive ISM data, ISM manufacturing, non-farm payrolls, and then ISM non-manufacturing, just all came in worse than expected, pulling the euro dollar higher. So, I think that is a theme across the markets as well.
All right, let's go on to. Gold, which bounced nicely.
Again, very interesting, because I think the gold chart and my subsequent chart on the silver price is both very similar outlooks, really. You're both pulling these sort of long-term trend channels, both finding support on the 89-day moving average, interestingly. both still holding on to those long-term breakouts. On gold, it's above sort of 1300 area. That's a good floor, I think, for gold long-term. And I think the momentum indicators are turning around. You've got the MACD lines at the bottom. Only the second time this year it's given a buy signal on that turnaround.
It strikes me as a little, still as a little oddity, is that the COT data, the commitment of traders data, shows that the smart money is still heavily short on gold, which, so sentiment-wise, you have the retail market bullish on gold, but you have the commercial hedgers, the big money, they're still heavily short, record short on gold, which kind of, you know, I got to be honest, I'm not sure how to square that up.
Yeah, that's the, interesting. You know, I mean, obviously, if they're record short, then perhaps they're a little bit too far one way, you could argue. But maybe the retail clients are sort of holding the gold trade up, because there is a big retail season coming up in China and India.
Right, and of course, September seasonally is the strongest period for gold.
Quite.
So it kind of supports this view of bullishness for this month.
And also, just on a long-term basis, the whole consistent line of loose monetary policy through the central banks, Fed not tightening, that is going to help to underpin the gold price going forward. I think that it's, on a technical basis, we're looking at 1357 as a near-term resistance. If you move above that trend line, that red line on the downside, I think that's interesting, because you've already broken above the equivalent line on the RSI. So you sort of, the momentum indicators are trying to lead the gold price higher, and I think ultimately it will sort of push up towards those resistance levels and then maybe higher after that.
Right, so I mean, that the trigger may be when we, the end of the month, when we find out the Fed are not doing anything.
You could imagine, so, I mean, certainly the gold price has jumped strongly from that sort of 1300 support area in the last 4 or 5 days on the back of the Fed. USD.
Any drops, that there's nothing's going to happen.
Well, on a long term basis, you could sort of seriously question what the Fed can actually do and what it's actually trying to do. I mean, the Fed obviously tries to talk up the fact that the economy is okay and they're going to be pushing towards a tightening cycle, but actually, will they do it? Will they be able to do it? And is the appetite there to do it? Remains to be seen.
Okay, let's move along.
Similar, very similar chart, actually, I think, on silver. But silver is pretty much gold on steroids, really. I think you get the silver price is far more volatile than gold. Again, you've got that broken RSI downtrend. Again, you're coming up to the resistance of that downtrend on silver. So the momentum indicators are trying to pull the price higher. It certainly looks like you've got that support coming in at 1920. I think anywhere between sort of 1920, 1990 is a decent buy area, I think, for silver near term. Yes, you could argue you're still in that downtrend phase, but I think the momentum indicators are trying to pull that higher. And you look at this chart here. I said the 89-day moving average on gold. 89-day moving average throughout 2016 has been very supportive for silver. Each time, on four separate occasions, come back and found excellent support and pulled higher. So it is still a long-term positive outlook, I think, on silver. And I think little corrections are going to be seen as a chance to buy on silver.
So the 89-day line is a good one. It's a good trading.
Seems to be working at the moment on these. Seems to be working at the moment. On gold, historically, the 144-day has been very strong when it's a trending market. But at the moment, the 89-day is working well.
Okay, unfortunately, we're out of time. But Richard Perry, market analyst for Hantech Markets, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back after the break.